I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey, fuckers, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut-shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina.
Today's news item comes from the New York Times, and it's about, this one kills me, it's about Asia Argento, who you all know I fucking love. She's been a leader in the Me Too movement. She's besties with Rose McGowan, who's also my bitch, and I'm sure she would hate me saying that, which is what makes me love her more. And the article is entitled that she made a deal with her own accuser. And at first I was like, oh, is this some kind of like Weinstein backwards thing? But it's actually about a young actor that she worked with named Jimmy Bennett. She played his mom in a film when he was like really young. And then they remained friends for a long time. And I don't even want to say allegedly, because she made a deal. So I guess definitely they met in a California hotel room 2 months past his 17th birthday. And she basically like
diddled him.
She like kind of like went down on him and just like kind of like threw herself on him.
Oh, assaulted him.
Yeah. And at this time, she's, you know, she was a lot. She was 37 at the time. So, I mean,
damn,
it's not funny, but it's just I laugh because it's so tiring at this point. But I think the thing to learn from this, and he tried to, and he kind of kept quiet about it, but it really, like, he was making a ton of money. He was doing really well as a child actor. And basically, if you look at his like IMDb or whatever, after this incident, you see that he stops kind of appearing, which it could be coincidence or it could be because he was traumatized by it. I mean, there is a thing that, you know, child actors often don't become adult actors because maybe they're not as cute. They're not, you know, whatever it was special about them. But, you know, he definitely said he was traumatized by the incident, which I know we talk about young women being assaulted a lot, but I think we've mentioned this before, like almost every boyfriend I've ever had has told me at least one story where like a MILF type person has done something really fucking inappropriate and weird to them. Ugh. Groped them like a mom's older friend or something like that. Everyone. And
were they creeped out by it?
Yeah, they were definitely creeped out by it. I think it's not to the extent that a lot of women are. But
I also think men are taught to not be creeped out by that.
Exactly. But it definitely, like, when they're telling the story, you're like, oh, do I need to check in with you? Like, are you okay with that? Because it's just not okay. I mean, there's just no reason a 37-year-old should never be hooking up with a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
It's just not.
It's not good.
I don't know. And it's beyond, like, being judgy. It's just like, no. Like, at a certain point, age is not just a number. Age is actually the years that you've spent on the earth learning things and feeling comfortable with yourself.
Yeah.
So it is something.
And it's the age that you should, you know, act
right
and be appropriate.
Yeah. And he was kind of quiet about it until she came out as such a strong voice against Harvey Weinstein. And like everything Harvey Weinstein did was disgusting, and this has nothing to do with that. But he tried to sue her, and then she ended up paying him like a sum of like $380,000.
Yeah, he asked for like a lot more than that. Didn't he
ask for like something millions? Yeah. So she paid him that money, but there was no, like, in California, you can't actually pay someone to like hush.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying this in layman's terms, but yeah, so there was just a photo of them in bed, and the part of that money was like, that can't be released.
Okay, because she has the copyright to that photo, right?
Yeah, so it's like, that was like, she was basically paying for the copyright, but she wasn't actually paying to hush him. It was just kind of like going on like a handshake kind of a deal, like,
right,
if I pay you this, you know, hopefully you won't say
Please
anything.
Shut
but of
up.
Course it came out. And I think there's a couple multiple things to learn about this. It's number one, you know, I always say, like, it's like the loudest voices in movements like this are always the ones you can't trust. And it's like, that hurts because like we're also voices in this, but I think,
well, I mean, I didn't,
we go back, well, we also like bad. Tell people, we also like, you know, call ourselves pieces of shit. So I think that's helpful.
Yes.
I think when you come out as like self-righteous and like you're the best person in the world and you've never done anything wrong. But yes. I think another thing is like everyone has skeletons in their closet. And if you dig, maybe not to this extent, I don't have anything
hopefully
to this
not.
Extent yet.
Hey, there's still time.
But you know, there's going to be things that if isolated look real fucking bad. But this was really, this really bummed me out.
Yeah.
And I was actually kind of glad that Anthony Bourdain was dead, so he didn't see this, because he was such, he was so supportive
of her. Yeah, he wrote a really great article
and
about,
I was like, maybe it all came together God at the right it. time. Anyway,
hey,
happy Friday.
Today's show sponsored by Talkspace. This ad always comes at very appropriate times in this podcast. The online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. Can't imagine fitting another appointment in your life because you're too busy getting payoff money from the lady that touched you inappropriately? That's unfortunate. Well, with Talkspace, therapy is as easy as sending your therapist a message. No commutes, no leaving the office, and no judgments. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/GWF. Use code GWF and you get $45 off your first month and you show your support for this show. That's GWF at Talkspace.com/GWF. Oh, this is... Come see us live.
Yes, come see us live, guys. Right now, we're in Dallas, Texas.
Yeehaw, sorry.
At the Addison Improv. That's August 23rd, 24th, 25th. And we're doing a Sunday show, too. 23rd, 24th.
We are.
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We're going to be there in Texas for a while.
Oh, yeah. That's, it's because it's Friday.
Is there stuff to do there? If so, can you tell us?
Outside stuff, preferably.
Yeah. Lakes.
Yes.
Swimming.
It's going to be 100 degrees.
I'm going to be so sweaty.
Yeah, yeah. Son.
Edmonton, Alberta, which is in Canada. September 13th through the 15th, Corinne and I are going to be at the Comic Strip. And then in Atlanta, Georgia, October 11th through the 14th, we're going to be at Laughing Skull. We have a bunch of other dates for the rest of the year. These are going to be our last Bridget Bishop
tour dates.
Including
Chicago, which people are excited about. People kept tweeting us about that, and I like forgot that we had booked that Zanies gig. And I was like, I actually two Zanies gigs in two different sections of Chicago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we are going to Chicago.
I know. I always forget.
Then I got happy.
Yeah, yeah. I love Chicago.
I love Chicago.
We're going to Chicago, and we're also going to Rhode Island. We're actually bringing the guys who fucked the experience back for one night only at the Rogue Island Comedy Festival.
Rogue Island Comedy Festival is so fucking good.
And you don't want to miss that, because that's a one and only. Go to sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com/tours for all of our other dates.
And I'm going to be on the DL in real life, but if you want to hear me more in a week, you can always listen to the Two Less Lonely Girls podcast. We recently went to Haley Baldwin's apartment because we've lost our minds. And yeah, that's co-hosted by Rosebud Baker. Thank you so much to another sponsor for today's episode, MeUndies. Give your top drawer the refresher it deserves with a MeUndies membership.
Aww.
Each month, MeUndies will release a new exclusive print made in collaboration with artists and brands that only members get. And with special member pricing, members will also pay less for everything on the MeUndies website. So if you want a second pair of undies, a bralette, or lounge pants, you'll pay less than anyone else. Best of all, the membership comes with no strings attached, so you can switch styles, skip the month, or cancel at any time, which is so great, especially for people like us, because we're always traveling and then you have like a bunch of things that are laying at your door. So it's nice to be able to be like, hey, I'm not home this month, but I'll be back next month and I want my underwear.
Give my undies.
I love me undies, the underwear. I'm not like a huge underwear wearer.
You're really not.
So I wear a lot of the other MeUndies products. I think my favorite product is the lounge pants. I love them. And they're so, like, they're really meant for inside, but they're so nice that, like, you can wear them outside. Like, if you wanted to, you could wear them outside. They have a great elastic band. Like, the flow is good. You feel a little bit like a sexy MC Hammer. Really liking it.
Oh, yeah.
They come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love them, just send them back for a full refund. So, guys, to get 15% off your first pair of MeUndies plus free shipping and a 100% guarantee, you're going to go to MeUndies.com/GWF. That's MeUndies.com/GWF.
Now that your butt is cradled in MeUndies, What are you going to cradle them titties with, girl? Third Love, that's what. Using thousands of real women's measurements, Third Love's designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind so that they fit impeccably and even better. And now, since adding 24 new sizes, Third Love offers the most options of any brand. That's a total of 70 sizes, bitches. Find your fit in 60 seconds online. Order and try on at home with Third Love's Fit Finder quiz. It's actually fun and takes less than a minute. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Uh-oh. This is hands down the most comfortable bra you will own, especially if you got tig old bitties like your girl. From premium ultra-soft smoothing fabrics to expert design features like straps that don't slip, which truly is a blessing. The details make the difference. The labels are tagless, which I fucking love, so they ain't itchy. I hate itching my back because of bra tags. Third Love, they don't do that. And because Third Love guarantees a perfect fit, returns and exchanges are free and easy. Talk about your experience with the product. Okay, Third Love, I will. I fucking love them. I think a lot of bras, I'm a 34D, and a lot of times I'll buy a bra at a store and it just feels like I'm wearing armor. Like, it just, I just feel the bra, and Third Love's the only company I've ever worn their bras and it feels like, like I'm a regular girl. Like, I don't feel the bra all the time, and it's amazing. So I'm not just like constantly aware of my titties like everybody else around me. Third Love knows that a perfect bra for there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering Guys We Fuck listeners 15% off your first order. So go to thirdlove.com, THIRD/GWF now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/GWF for 15% off. Today, Third Love titties. Have at it.
And we want to welcome a new sponsor to Guys We Fuck podcast, Monster Energy.
Roar!
I love Monster Energy. I do. I think it, I drink it a lot because I'm always fucking tired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I drink it all the fucking time.
Oh, good.
Monster Energy, I drink it all the time. For many of us, the day doesn't start until we get that morning energy boost.
Me too.
I'm talking about coffee. And now there's a new way to enjoy your cup of Joe thanks to Cafe Monster. I guess this is like you're really fucking tired and you're like, you know what, this coffee isn't cutting it. Why don't I put some Monster Energy in it? Because I want to just be driving to work like this.
I want to slap a baby in the face today.
Fucking do this. Are we gonna have this meeting? Are we gonna do this? We will sell this house today. Hi, Tommy.
I don't need cocaine.
Available in vanilla, mocha, salted caramel. If you want to do dessert, breakfast, and fucking roid rage all in one, Cafe Monster is shaking up the ready-to-drink coffee category with indulgent gourmet coffee that's only 190 calories.
That ain't bad.
Which is good, because if you're running at 1,000, you need to also be burning more calories than you were from just like the adrenaline rush in your body. Not to mention, with 150 milligrams of caffeine from coffee beans, B vitamins, that's important because that's like real energy.
Yeah.
And coffee fruit extract, Cafe Monster offers a simplified energy blend that contains a third less sugar than the leading national brand. That's good, because a lot of that shit that you're drinking
All sugar.
When you're going to coffee shops and you're like, this is just my morning boost. Like,
no, and a latte, extra hot foam.
Like, your morning boost shouldn't have whipped cream on it. Like, not to judge, but call. Like, I'm going to say no. Just like maybe no whipped cream on it or like sprinkles.
All chocolate syrup on it, a cherry.
Sometimes I see people walking out with stuff. And like, you know, there's those signs all around town about like, don't drink your calories.
I know.
Like,
and then you have some bitch coming out of a Starbucks with, it's not only the whipped cream, but it's the drizzle, which ain't bad, but it's not. It's bad for you. You know what I mean?
So this is great. You can keep it in your fridge. You can grab one on the go. I'm always fucking in a rush. So it's nice to have something that you can just grab. In fact, it's 100 fewer calories per bottle than the competition, but you'd never know by tasting it. Instead, you get all the same feel and flavor as your local coffee house, and you don't even have to wait in line, which I just said, which is great.
I just did it, and it was a terrifying experience waiting in line for this.
Oh, waiting in line? Yeah. It's not good. So, I mean, I like it. I actually don't love coffee, so it's good if you can put anything else in it to make it not taste like coffee.
True.
And it is convenient because, like, if you're running so late that you can't open your own refrigerator, take something out, and then put it in your bag, then maybe it's time to have a meeting with a life coach. So
look in the mirror.
Guys, Cafe Monster, chill it down, shake it up, enjoy.
Whoop.
Oh, I don't know.
That was a weird sound effect.
Perfect. So real quick, I just want to, you know, we did the rant heard around the world a couple weeks ago about Insatiable, and that was before the show came out. So I always like to follow up with rants I go on and make sure I wasn't like out of line or incorrect.
I mean, so I must have said something because, man, I just commented hearts on Amber Rose's Instagram post one week and people were angry.
Well, it's because you put hearts on the artist that we made fun of.
I mean, yeah,
she's the one who started the change.org petition.
Yeah, I was but I read that Amber Rose had like a really long ass caption to accompany this art. Mm-hmm. All the art was words on a color. That's all it was.
Yeah,
they were beautiful words, but like I was excited about the caption because I liked what she said, and then everyone's like, "You're a cunt." I'm like, "Oh, that's not solving the problem, you idiot."
Yeah, there was a lot of anger. You know, a lot of people, and by that I mean two, stopped listening to the podcast.
Just two, huh? Yeah, that ain't bad.
I mean, two who really, whatever. But I'm on board for that because I feel like let's skim the fat.
Absolutely.
No pun intended. Fat shaming. Okay. I really wasn't.
I see what you did.
Really wasn't trying to do that.
Well,
but
hey,
just
that's
made
what you're supposed
laugh.
To do if you don't want to listen to anything anymore. You stop listening to it and you shut the fuck up.
For sure. And a lot of people who listen to our podcast are like, I don't agree with a lot of what you say. I don't agree with like most of what you say, but I think that your perspective is interesting. And like, I listen
that's
to lots
fine.
Of people who like that.
So I
had a boyfriend who thought that. So you know, it's like whatever. So yeah. I watched Insatiable because a couple people also had messaged me saying like, oh my god, it's so good, and they were gay guys, so I knew they were right. It is so good, and as I'm watching it, number one, it's super campy. It's almost like, do you remember that soap opera Passions?
It was like, I've heard of it.
It was like a soap opera for young people. So this Insatiable,
like Jennifer's Body, kind of. That's what I saw previews on Instagram. It looked really good.
I would say, it's like a Desperate Housewives, where it's like a kind of like a really well done, but definitely soap opera-y kind of feel. And like it has the campiness of like a Jennifer's Body.
Oh, I love that.
But it's just like the acting is great. There's really good actors in it. The storyline is interesting. It's well shot. I love everybody. And every step of the way, like the things that happen to make this girl skinny, like number one, she turns into a terrible person when she gets thin. So it's like, I think
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's,
well, the people who wrote that petition, they didn't see the show yet.
No, they didn't see it. But I was looking up and there's still articles about how the fat shaming gets worse when you actually watch the series.
No, it doesn't.
And
I mean, I haven't watched it.
I think it's just a really true reflection on society, in that you do get treated differently, but for the wrong reasons when you become thin. She has this really great best friend character who kind of is telling her, like, I thought you were beautiful the whole time. The main character who gets thin still fucking hates herself and thinks she's ugly. Mm. And like, it's very complex. There's a lot of commentary on things that are happening in society. And it made me so angry that people might not be watching it who weren't actually triggered, but heard other people were and just felt like the need to fit in, because it's so many people who are being affected. It's not just these TV stars. It's like the best boys, the gaffer, the PAs, the caterers. Like, there's so many jobs that you're affecting when you just write off a show without ever watching it. Like, there's a lot of jobs and people who put their heart and soul into it. And it's also like, would you watch a soap opera and then try to like fuck your dad? Like, everything, you know? That's what I thought. I was like,
I fucked my dad's twin.
This
oh,
is
no.
so over the top and campy. It's like, if you're going to watch this.
Ugh.
And then
truly get angry about the plot and what it's doing to the minds of the viewers potentially in your head. Shut the fuck up.
Like, you should not be allowed to have a remote control, a Netflix subscription, and you need to grow up. Like, I really, really, truly enjoyed the show. And I fucking hate TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate TV. And I've been enjoying it so, so, so much. And it's nice to see, like, some actors that I haven't seen, like, in a while or at all. Like, Alyssa Milano fucking killing it.
I love her.
Killing it.
I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah.
Netflix is killing it.
Yeah.
Dude, Guys We Fest.
Mm.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We had our first ever Guys We Fest this past Saturday.
Yeah.
I gotta say, there was just so much to do. There's just so many little tiny things that I was like panicking about. But at the end, everything we always do, it's like, it'll fucking work itself out. It was such a success.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Truly. The day portion was amazing. We had all these great artists and companies and brands and nonprofit organizations.
Yeah, I'm actually compiling a full list of everyone because I would like to like create a page on our website.
Yeah.
I'm going to have Mark Johnson do it. Hi, Mark. More work for you.
Thanks for doing the Buying Your Ex booth.
Yeah, Mark Johnson at Bionic Egg. Shout out to him. He just donated his time and also a page on our website for Guys We Fest. Really special thank you to Grant Woolfolk at New Alternatives. Yeah. We did raise half the money for New Alternatives, but like he went above and beyond.
Oh my God, that man is an angel.
Just helping us to coordinate volunteers and kind of really holding our hands through our first nonprofit event because it's very difficult. There's a lot of things, and we kind of knew this going into it. We're like, there's going to be a lot of things and money that we don't know, permits and stuff that yeah. we need. And we were right. It was actually more than we even thought. But somehow we all pulled it off. And a huge thank you to kind of the woman who doesn't get a lot of attention, but who had us calling her name and forwarding her emails and texting her and FaceTiming her all summer, Lauren Ruffner.
Yes.
She was the previous Sorry About Last Night intern. And then we hired her to like kind of be the head under us of Guys We Fest. And she just knocked it.
Really crushed it.
Out of the park.
Whatever job she asked for, give it to her, guys.
Yeah.
If
you want to hire a badass bitch in the New York City area, I know she was interested in like working for like magazines or periodicals, but truly like a really great person. Just
really on top of her shit.
Yeah, and all the fuckers. Like, this was, if you went to the event, like, this was done entirely by people who listened to the podcast.
There's a few hired
people, but even then, like, I just actually wanted the AV guy just called me about something, and he was like, thank you so much for like letting me be a part of this. Like, yeah, this was a great experience. I would love to work with you guys again.
Yes, the graphic design, the stage managing of the show part, and the daytime entertainment. I mean, every single thing, moving the tables, putting zip ties around all the chairs so they didn't get messed up. Every single thing was done by a fucker. And it was one of the happiest days. You know how we talk about like the gay pride parade is like one of my mm-hmm. favorite days ever because there's just so much like love in the air.
Mm-hmm.
This was like 10 times that because everyone just worked their ass off. We fucking showed up at 7:30 in the fucking morning to be there. And then we left at 2 a.m. and just everyone had a good fucking attitude. And oh God, it was just incredible. It exceeded my expectations wildly.
Yeah, it was quite good. Oh, and also heads up, if you guys got one of those free New York Comedy Club passes, I realized we were supposed to write GWF, or Emilio kind of wanted us to write GWF on them. So, but just if you got one of those passes, number one, it's a seasonal pass, so it's good for multiple shows. You can save it. But if you have a Sharpie, just write GWF on it, or when you make your reservation at New York Comedy Club, there's the new location on East 4th Street. Just say, hey, I got this at Guys We Fest.
Yeah.
Just so you know, because they were really nice and they sponsored Guys We Fest for us, and they've always been very good to us.
Yes. Oh God, I'm so excited about that day. And my mom and brother were there. That was very special.
And my mom was there. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Di-Fi was there. She was like, oh, whose Randy Travis shirt is that at our thrift store? And I was like, that was mine. I got it. She's like, did you actually go to the concert? Because I've been to that concert. I was like, no, I got it at thrift store.
Oh, my mom loves country music. Hell yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, so our guest. So for this episode of Guys We Fucked was recorded live at Guys We Fest.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to some fuckers about some stuff, and then we bring on our guest. I'm so excited that she was able to make it. She is amazing. She is, we give off her credits in the episode, but she is the co-host of a very popular podcast in Kenya called The Spread, where it's they're a platform for sex positive conversation because the laws there are a lot different and talking about things freely is a lot different there. And so she opened my eyes to so many things. I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Kaz.
The girl who will say you're so pretending, I'm the one you're writing for. Music's right to me. You see that I'm grooving. Get enough of what you're doing. I want you to ruin me. You like I'm sounding. I look up but you're frowning. What's up, baby? Don't you like the way you jazz is sounding through me? Just worry that I fuck this. I feel something sexy when you dancing next to me. Trying to keep it professional, can't live with regrets. Your daydreaming of you wake up, but meaning to respect you. Baby, that's okay, come on, all worked up anyway. Find a place, I promise.
has been Amory. This has been a lot of fun, guys. And are we ready for the live fucking podcast? Thank you so much. Guys, we fuck. Without further ado, two really good friends of mine. You all know who they are. Let's bring up the one, the only, Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Yes.
This is so fun.
Give it up for Amory, everybody.
Good. Oh my God, you guys.
Hello, guys.
People came.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming out to the first ever Guys We Fest. Yeah. Wow, this is a wonderful, wonderful
first
turnout.
And last. So happy to be here. What a. No, just kidding. Yeah, if you want to take a this is supposed to be like a day without phones. I say that as I have my phone in my hand. So if you want to take a picture now. And then what Cindy Lauper always says, take a picture now and enjoy the rest of the show. So we'll do some poses for you. And then we're all going to have a good time without our phones, okay? Here's pose one. Okay. I can't hold this one for long. Okay. It's maybe this one. And if you could make sure to hashtag it body positive, I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
How about
please.
One like this? This is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Mom.
I keep don't forgetting, look. Yeah. Oh, my mom's here too, but she expects this from me.
One more?
Sure, maybe like a nice one where we look like regular.
I guess like, I can talk, it's a photo.
Are you doing like a chipmunk thing or what are you doing?
Oh, God. Like a miscongeniality?
Yeah, I was like, no one's going to post the regular one anyway, so.
Yeah, I know.
It's fine. All
okay, right. So at the top of our podcast, usually we read some listener emails, but we can do one, maybe two. If anybody in the audience wants to come up and sit in the chair,
right.
Take a mic, and ask us a question, if you need advice, raise your hand.
Right. Oh, guys, everyone's real bold
down.
In the emails.
Your hand went up first, sir. I just saw it. Come on down. Get in the hot seat.
Yes. And what happens in Brooklyn Studios stays in Brooklyn Studios.
And then so, gets broadcasted to the world.
Yeah, get really graphic about
it. You know
how happy this
makes me, by the way.
Uh-oh.
What do you say?
You don't know how happy this makes me.
Well, we have
oh,
an
yes.
idea now.
Wanted,
oh,
so.
Thank you.
What's your name?
I'm Raymond.
Hi, Raymond.
Hi.
You have beautiful eyelashes.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
you
my gosh.
Well, though.
Stop it.
So. Raymond looked to me for a compliment. I was like, it's not a compliment. So.
No, but...
You seem very nice, but...
I'll compliment you. You had a great butt when you bent. That was
oh,
great.
Oh, thank
but
you.
But we were over there and you didn't look, so
yeah.
That was unfortunate.
Well, you know what? I knew you were there, so...
I knew you were
over there getting cocky. How can we help you, Raymond?
All right, so a friend of mine, my sexual equal over here, is...
Whoa.
Yes, agreed.
Sexual equal? Girlfriend?
Yes.
I know. We're like,
buck
what
buddy?
Does that mean?
I don't know.
Is
yes.
More than
but
a fuck buddy?
No, we're... Very good friends. That's way more than everything, right?
Sexual equal. I don't think I've ever heard that term.
I don't have a sexual equal.
What's it like,
Hi,
Raymond?
Raymond? How are you?
Uh-oh!
Bold move, Raymond.
Raymond! You know I have OCD and I can't touch strangers.
But I did kind of ask, so...
Oh, well, I mean, no, it's just, it's germs.
Oh.
No one understands OCD.
So your sexual equal is yeah. sitting in the crowd.
Yeah, she actually introduced me to your podcast, and so I binged for about 6 months.
Oh.
Every single day.
Whoa.
I run a couple different companies, and I have no ability to focus on anything at once.
Thanks for dropping that in, Raymond.
Uh-huh. But not great,
you rich.
No.
He was like, I was like driving in my Lamborghini, and I just like couldn't
so like
listen
CEO
to your
of like a tech company, and like a nonprofit company, and like a car company.
Hi, my name is Raymond.
I moved my huge so. Cock out of the way, and then I was like, oh, their podcast is so funny.
Oh, another company. Oops, forgot about that one.
At some point, you'll make me less happy, but I don't know if that's possible. So anyhow, so probably like 4 to 5 episodes a day, and like I've got people asking me what I'm doing, and I'm sitting there just like, nothing, shut up.
Raymond's missing.
They always think that I'm a
Where'd
cop
Raymond
because
go?
I've got something in my ear. But I've noticed a lot of things that I'm like just all over the place of. People that don't want to talk on your show necessarily aren't my fans, that don't want to talk about, you know, sexual issues and different problems that come uh-huh. up in their lives. But I've heard things that just blew me away that I would have never
Thank
considered.
You.
And I'm not a podcast like fan. But I have seen that a lot of men have started recently, like, and I'm 40 years old. So to some degree, for me to be on a sitting up here with a group that's here. Mm-hmm. It's odd, probably, but it's helped me a lot because I am the most curious person on earth, especially when it comes to issues that people run into. And my big question to you is the greatest like ability you guys have had that maybe might have surprised you in helping different ones. I mean, that might be outside of the box of your typical, you know, fan group.
So wait, this is just like we're getting an interview like, for Rolling Stone.
Yeah, you're interviewing us. Do you work for the Times?
Fucked up, Raymond.
I don't have anything.
I was waiting for you to be like, and so I was listening to the podcast, and I really want to get fisted, but it won't go in.
No.
How do you
I'm
get
fine with
to
that
go
too.
In?
We're good.
Yeah, that's
fine.
The kind of thing.
A lot
that's
of butt plugs, Raymond.
I get it.
You
got to
go up in size day by day.
Life is dedication. The first 30 times, and after that, you're good.
Yeah, that's you. Someone listened to the Asa Akira interview. So wait, what's your question?
So, outside the box. You guys have had the chance for quite a while now to be able to help different people, but there's got to be somebody that stands out that you were kind of like, you know what, we got this email and we answered it and it was fantastic. And
I have one. I think mine is different than yours.
You go first because I got to think of one.
Well, after we did the interview with the woman who escaped Orthodox Judaism, someone reached out, like a 16-year-old male listener, and he seemed very desperate, like, and not in like a, I want to suck that cock, but I can't way, but just like a, he just seemed like he really needed help immediately because he was stuck in the Orthodox religion and he felt very trapped. And I kind of read into it and I was like, I think he's struggling with his sexuality a bit. And so I literally had him, I met him outside a bar show because he was 16 and I was like, well, I know, I'm not going to be like, come to my house, little boy.
That's very
that's
big
great.
Of you.
That's,
but he's like,
great.
Yeah,
no,
he
I
lives
like
in
that.
New York. So I was like, this is where I'm going to do a show. Like, just I'll wait outside and I'll meet you outside. And we kind of started, we became pen pals and I kind of like gave him some different resources. And like, you know, it went from like, I'm straight to I am, you know, questioning some things. I don't want to like give a lot about his personal life because he still listens and everything. But I just felt like I'm very big into like noticing one person and helping one person. When it's a big group, I get really overwhelmed. Like I've hidden at parties. Christina
has in the bathroom.
Me, like in a bush or in a bathroom.
Where's Corinne? Don't worry about it.
So that's like a one-on-one relationship. And we still talk to this day that meant a lot to me. And I felt like I'm so glad that the podcast existed because this is someone who is truly in a world where their parents had a very specific viewpoint. All the classmates, saying faggot and saying that, being a homosexual is wrong, and just really had no access, like couldn't watch movies, doesn't have a DVD player, his computer is looked over by his parents, so like finding this podcast was like
very
truly
trapped.
His only hope, like hope.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot, yeah.
I didn't
awesome.
Know that story, that's a great story.
Did you tell me and I forgot?
I don't know if I told you it in like,
oh, I was like
that detail, but I told you about him, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, mine, I have a more recent, we recently read an email this past Friday from a girl who's, I think she was 23 or something. She can only orgasm to videos of women giving birth.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
We got so many emails from women.
Yeah, I got
who were
questions like
immediately. Oh my God, same.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Specifically, in the similar characteristics, they don't want to be pregnant. They don't want to give birth. They don't, and it's not a pregnancy fetish. It's a giving birth. They had so many similarities. Yeah. I'm like, well, shit. There's really you can't throw anything our way that somebody else doesn't also experience.
Well, they say if you say it, it exists. So immediately, yeah. But that one I've never said. So and now I know.
I never thought I'd ever say that sentence out loud.
I wonder how many people are now because of that email
gonna look
masturbating to childbirth.
Yeah, I'm gonna go sit down and be like, she said, don't get on your phone.
Don't do it here, Raymond.
Raymond,
I thought we
say
weren't judging. I was pretty
Raymond,
sure I was told this would be like a no judgment.
All ages,
I've
Raymond.
Already put myself
Raymond.
Out there a lot already and not looking for judgment. So.
Oh, boy.
Well, thank you, Raymond, for
thank
coming
you.
Up and interviewing
Again,
us.
Made my
appreciate
day.
It. Thank
Keep
you.
Moisturizing. You
can leave the mic on the chair.
Oh, yeah.
Or
oh,
there.
Yeah, that's also fine.
Does anybody else want to come up and need advice on something?
One more.
You. Yes.
Everyone looks so sparkly, thanks to Vicky DeVille's Drag Me booth. Oh, thank you. Thanks to all the wonderful organizations who are here today, too.
Yeah.
We'll post a list of them so you guys can support them. And listeners, you're not here, but we're having so much fucking fun.
Yeah, I wish you were here. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Emma.
Hi, Emma.
Hi, Emma.
Nice to meet you guys.
Thanks for coming out.
First of all, I'm really excited to be here because I moved here to New York City on Wednesday.
Every day's
so
like this.
This is like... Like, I'm brand fucking new. But I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I used to be very closed off sexually, and it kind of just, like, this whole lens sort of opened my eyes to, like, what's possible. So I'm very proud of myself. I came to this alone today.
Yeah.
Just to be here. But I have a little problem that's a bit of a large problem. It's a bit of a legend among my friend group that I am 23 years old and I have never in my life had an orgasm. Mm-hmm.
It's not that, it's very common, actually.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, is statistically I know it's very common, but when you tell a group of women, hey, I'm 23 and I have an orgasm, you get like, oh, like you haven't lived.
Where's the paramedic?
Yeah.
They orgasm at the thought of you not having an orgasm.
Yes.
I mean, that's just rude.
Literally.
Is that what you just did?
That's rubbing it in.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Literally, I'll tell one of my friends and she's like, oh, I just orgasmed while you were talking right now. Like, that kind of shit. Where
that's
like,
a rude
so,
friend.
That's a rude so, friend yeah. and a rare friend.
It feels so easy to other people. And... like, I've tried with partners, and I've tried by myself, and I mm-hmm. think it's also, like, I, like many people here, I'm sure, have had my fair share of panic attacks. And you know that heartbeat rising feeling that tends to go with an orgasm tends to also go with a bit of a panic attack?
I
really?
Feeling.
Like, well, sometimes...
I, mean, I only... I had, like, a half a panic attack. I've had a lot of orgasms, so... and. Yeah.
I've had a lot
does,
of both.
It does start yeah. with that.
They
oh,
start the same
why
way.
Yours doesn't?
Maybe I'm doing it wrong, but
no,
no, I don't.
I
don't get the heartbeat.
You're doing it very right. I think that's very.
I don't get the
right.
heartbeat.
This is a blowjob repeat for you. Sorry, Mrs. Hutchinson.
Oh my God.
It was a problem I had with blowjobs.
Thanks, Corinne.
Good.
What do you do? I mean, what? Because I don't get that feeling. So, I mean, maybe you're thinking about it in a way that's like it has to be a certain way.
I think it's because it's been hyped up so much socially mm. by other women and by guys I've been with. Like, every guy, of course, wants to be the guy to give you an orgasm.
And
when
that,
you've never
yeah.
had an orgasm. Oh. It's not on oh. anyone's job. It's not a responsibility. It's not something that's going to get put on your headstone when you die.
Right.
Made Emma orgasm. Like, that's not
well,
a claim
to them
to
it will.
Yes.
Possibly.
They'll take the thought with them to the grave, yeah. and that means just
it's
as
like
much
It's like their
sometimes.
Last thought, like a single tear. They're like, I made her come.
Yeah. Well, also, 23 isn't that. I know it I know. In the legend amongst your friends, 23 seems old, but it's really not that
I
old.
I know it's young in the grand scheme. It's
well,
just,
like, when did you start becoming sexually active or and or masturbating, if those were different
when
times?
When I was, like, 15, 16. So, like, I was kind of a late bloomer in the first place, so maybe everything is just bound to bloom, like, a little. Because I have friends who, like, started hooking up with guys when they were, like, in middle school. And for me, like, my first experience was, like...
Well, that wasn't your pace.
Yeah, it's my
fine.
Own pace,
yeah.
and I understand. But it's just one of those frustrating things where even a couple times, if I get close, it's the heartbeat sensation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the something new is happening. And then mm-hmm. my body goes, protect yourself, fly away, panic.
So you just answered your own question.
Yeah.
yeah
so I don't know how, I'm trying to snap myself out of it, and I don't know.
Yeah, but I think sometimes like when you're really stressed about something, like trying to snap yourself out of something by pressuring yourself to feel away. And kind of, I can go back to something Tommy said in his talk back earlier about like forcing yourself to feel something. You can't just like after a breakup, you can't just be like, I'm gonna fucking be happy now.
Yeah.
You can't just lie in bed and be like, I'm gonna orgasm now, because like that's stressful. That stresses me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
That gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
yeah. It's especially if something that you've never done before. So you have to kind of like just work into it. And I think sitting down and doing something with like, well, I'm gonna try like playing with myself today mm-hmm. with no expectation
yeah.
of orgasming. I'm just gonna do things that feel good and mess around and then kind of like keep doing that, because it's like you're putting everything in this like orgasm basket or goal
yeah.
and there's a lot of fun in the journey and I'm sorry for saying
oh,
that. I just
Oprah.
Like I need a thesaurus because I couldn't think of another word for I mean like what was I trip
yeah whenever you focus too much on something, it's like whenever my shoulders hurt I just focus on my feet and then my shoulders stop hurting, like
yeah.
it's just that mentality. So next time you have partnered sex, don't tell that person, like, hey, the end goal is not an orgasm.
Yeah.
And, we're just going to have fun.
Like, I'm with a person right now who's very supportive of that. And, like, it feels good and I have fun and, like, it's great.
That's awesome.
You know, but for him, it's sort of like every once in a while he's like, so are we going to try today? Or
all right,
you're not trying to have a baby at 45.
No,
like, yeah, this like I'm
ovulating,
out.
Derek.
Yeah, I just like your legs are upside
it's
down.
Like mom, yeah, yeah.
Pouring semen in there. Yeah, this is all so stressful, and now it's become this team project.
Yeah.
And for me, like, it's much more stressful to do something new in front of somebody else
yes.
that I have not experienced myself. Mm. So I think definitely concentrate on masturbating. It's I think we've
just
we've gotten to like it's an anxiety based thing,
I'm,
which
like,
is like
trying to root
so
down
many.
The problem, and yeah. I think that's the root of it. Is it's just like it's a similar sensation to a panic attacky kind of feeling that I've had before.
Right,
it's just a matter of getting past the wall, but I can't quite get there. So maybe 23 will be the year. I don't know, but I got to try something.
Yeah, yeah, just relax, do deep breathing, and just don't focus on that being the end goal. It's
great.
Like, you know, like I can't, like Herman was saying, like doing something in front of somebody else is like, I just bought a piano and I play it by myself. It's the most amazing time ever.
Right.
But when the
as
second someone else is in the room, I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
And I suck at it because I don't, that's not, it fucks me up.
Yeah.
So I enjoy playing it by myself. So play your own piano.
Oh,
by yourself.
Nice.
And also I think just are you concentrating like only on like your clit?
Yeah.
Like, so try feeling pleasure
butthole.
In other areas. Or even like completely like a behind the
ears.
Ear, neck,
really?
Like with your partner. You're not going to fully orgasm for that. Although I did have a boyfriend who said that he sang in a girl's face once and she came, but he had a lot of issues.
Was that my ex-boyfriend?
That's a large
not
lie.
Steven.
Yeah, my mom can guess who that is later. She'll know. And so just like pleasure in other places, not like overstimulated or just being like, this is gonna work today,
yeah.
you know?
It's like I've only got an hour.
It's like stripping
you're like
screw.
Annette Bening from American Beauty.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sell this house today.
Yes,
and then she
Tommy.
Fucks it up because she's too focused.
Mm-hmm. That's Tommy's it. Motto. And it's like that old theater trick. Christina kind of mentioned it, like if you know one part hurts, I concentrate on another part. Like if you have full makeup on in theater and you can't touch your face, they always say like scratch your hand.
Oh.
So and because your body doesn't really know the
yeah.
difference, and it like kind of works. It's just not, it doesn't feel as good as scratching
like
your face,
but kind of.
It's just a sensation of your body. There's a lot of places on your body that we don't pay attention to because we're so obsessed with the
I
genitals.
Think, yeah, I think I do that. I think I focus too
yeah.
much on like,
yeah, pay attention to like your ears.
Yeah,
you know, you never know what's gonna happen.
Words
You're
to
right.
live by, pay attention to your ears.
It's the ears.
Thank you,
thank
you
guys.
So much.
Nice to meet you.
Is our guest Reti? Is she near? Oh, hi. Okay. I'm very, very, very excited to bring up our guest this evening. She's known to millions of television viewers across Africa as being part of the hit reality show Project Fame. She's received several accolades such as Best Afrofusion Artist of the Year, Most Promising Female Artist in Africa. She's the co-host of one of the most popular podcasts in Africa to talk about sexuality and being sex positive. Please, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Kaz.
Woo!
I love how you came from like in the audience as if you're like a plant.
I know this is fun. It's like a late night show. Awesome.
Hello. Yeah, you go up these stairs.
Over here.
Hi, Kaz. How you doing?
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks
for hanging with us today. So one of the things that you had mentioned in your bio was that there's no sex ed in Africa or in Kenya, where you're from?
Kenya,
specifically.
Which is where I'm from.
Yeah.
The sex education was removed from the curriculum. So kids,
do you know when?
Maybe like 5 or 6 years ago.
Who did that?
The government.
Oh.
Yeah. So the only sex education that people receive is just like a short clips of if you have sex, you will get gonorrhea and die.
Wow, it literally is like the Mean Girls scene of like...
That's
Jesus.
Pretty much it. So there's a whole generation of people who are growing up with only that in mind. It's like, I'm either going to get pregnant and, you know, out like unwanted pregnancies and disease. That's it.
Jesus. And so when you grew up, how did you learn about sex?
I am very blessed that I was born into a more liberal family.
Oh, yes.
So my first conversation about sex was with my mother. But all she said to me was... The ugliest thing in the world is a naked man with socks on.
She's not
you
wrong.
You are blessed.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong, guys. Take off your socks, okay?
Not wrong.
That
was it.
How old were you?
I was 12.
Wow.
Wow. And did you know, were you like, yeah, Mom?
I think.
Tell him.
I was like, gee, thanks. And I literally can't get that image out of my head. And I started, when I was young, I was dating older men.
How much older?
Daddy issues.
Really, though? Is it daddy issues? Because my dad is the shit, and like I love older dudes, so yeah. I don't.
Okay.
How much older are we talking? Because I've seen some 90 Day Fiancés that are real weird.
True.
Yeah. So I was at 12. My boyfriend at the time was 21.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a big gap.
Yeah, we didn't have sex, though. But
how'd you guys meet? Yeah. And what is a 21-year-old?
My brother's friend.
Your brother's
my
friend?
My older brother's friend. My brother did not like that
yeah,
story.
No shit. Yeah. Wait, what'd your parents say? What'd your mom say?
My mom was very easy. For some reason, she never really ever had problems with the things that I did, and most of them were mistakes.
Well, right. She let you learn from them?
Yes. Yeah, so
but is that illegal? 12 and 21?
Yes,
okay,
illegal.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, people are, like, for whatever reason, the government is more, they're not so focused on, like, statutory rape. But they are, like, they'll focus on other things. Like, hey, you're trying to put out a sex podcast? We're going to arrest mm-hmm. you.
Oh, that's nice. Priorities,
yes,
you know?
Exactly.
What did you and your 21-year-old boyfriend do?
Like, we
what?
Just kissed.
Aww.
Yeah, I once let him like touch me over the top.
Did you even have
breasts.
Like full boobs?
Boobs? Yeah.
No, I had nipples, like little tiny nipples.
And he was like, yeah,
yeah
half boobs.
Yeah. But he never, he was like, I'll take it. He never really pressured me into having sex either.
Wow.
Like, what and is he come doing from... now? Like, what
yeah,
is
what's he? Where is he? He's got
what
a family.
Happened with this guy?
He's now married with 3 kids, I think.
To like a regular aged person?
Yes, to a regular
really?
Aged person.
Did you ever like, but did you ever go back and be like, yo, that was kind of weird?
So not really.
Really?
So it just,
because
it just...
my next relationship was probably a little bit weirder.
Oh,
hit
what?
Us.
Kaz, what you got?
Yeah, what happened, Kaz?
Well, compared to the 12-year-old situation. So when I was 16,
uh-huh.
I had a very hot affair with a man that was much older than me.
We're going to need a number.
Because there was sex involved.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. He must have been 30-something.
Late? Mid?
Now, see, something about that makes it is less weird for me because there's just, like, just the idea of, like, even touching a 12-year-old's tits freaks me out.
Yeah. I look at 12-year-olds now, and I'm like, you're,
like,
5.
Because, like, did you feel like you were ready? Or in, like, maybe at the time, did you, in retrospect, did you feel like you were ready? Maybe you were. I don't know.
For over-the-top action?
For dating a 21-year-old man.
I did, actually. And because, like, at that young age, I felt so much more mature and so much more older than mm-hmm. people who were my age. So,
right.
All of my friends were older,
yeah.
And all of my partners between the age of 12 and like the age of 18 were also older.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I kind of always...
So you just vibed with older people.
Yeah.
I hear it. Yeah, I do the same.
I know, but like in retrospect, were you like...
That, when I was 15...
That was weird of that guy.
Not until just now.
Really?
Oh, I'm
the first person to say that to you?
Pretty much.
That's. Wow. I mean, I'm judgment-free, but not that judgment-free.
Well, when I was 15, I was in love with my English teacher, and he was in
the judgment's
30s.
On the guy, though, not on you.
Yeah, but I, like, tried. I'm like, do I look hot today? And he was like, okay.
Yeah. Right, which is, like, a normal reaction.
Did you know anybody else growing up who had a similar situation with being, like, that young and having that big of an age difference? Was that something that was maybe more common, or
I don't even think I ever thought about it.
Huh.
I believe that when I then broke my virginity, or when I had sex for the first time, I was 14 years old. But the girl who was my friend was about the same age as me, and she'd been having sex for like a year or two,
mm-hmm.
and all of the people that she'd been sleeping with were older as well. They were in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose
get that old D, man.
Yeah.
Now, when you first started having sex, did you and your friends use condoms? Did you know about contraception since there wasn't much sex ed?
We knew about condoms, but that's about all that we knew.
Where would you get the condoms? Like just a store?
You would hope, because you're young, and probably as a woman or as a little girl. You don't go to the store to buy the condoms yourself, so you kind of hope that the guy will come with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard in a podcast that I was listening to, I can't remember which, but somebody was told that the first, like, if you're, when you find that you're comfortable enough to buy your own condoms, and that's when you're old enough to have sex.
oh, I shouldn't have had sex until I was like 22.
I was going to say, I guess I'm still not ready. That aisle's kind of embarrassing.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, I don't care. I'm not. I don't even know if I've ever purchased them because we get them shipped to
our house for free. But I would have if
yeah.
we didn't.
I'm like, I guess.
So,
but just condoms. There was, or a lot of people my age at the time who were having sex were also on the morning after pill, also known as a Plan B.
Wait, that was their form of birth control?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So
like,
was
terrible.
Was the birth control pill not accessible for?
It was, but young people or people under the age of 18 didn't want to have to go to the store and buy those.
Oh, because you would have to have parent permission?
No.
Or is this embarrassing?
You can buy it over the counter. It's just embarrassing. And also, you're 12 or you're 13 or you're 14 and you walk into a pharmacy and ask for birth control pills. It's just like a lot of judgment.
Yeah,
they won't sell it to you or whatever. You know, you don't want to have to deal with that stuff.
Yeah, especially at that young of an age. I didn't want to buy tampons when I was like 14. I can't imagine buying condoms. Yeah.
So what was it about the sex education program in Kenya that got the government to step in and be like, we can't do this anymore? What do you remember what it was like before?
No.
Mm-mm.
I actually can't. Because I think it's just conversations about sex. They don't want people having those conversations because they believe that the more people talk about sex, the more they're going to want to have sex, mm-hmm. and then the more promiscuous young people are going to be, mm-hmm. which is not the truth. It's not fact. So a lot of people don't know anything. They don't know any better. They don't know how to be safe, and not just physically safe, but emotionally safe. Mm. A lot of young girls are throwing themselves at men, just because they think it's,
well, it feels,
you know,
exciting sometimes.
He bought me a drink and now I believe I should fuck him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like their body is their currency.
Yeah, exactly. So people don't know any better.
When you were younger, before you started having sex, did you have any ideas about what it was that were completely inaccurate? Like, I didn't know it was there was insertion involved until I was in the 9th grade.
Oh.
Yeah, I just thought you just kind of laid there and hugged. Yeah, so.
I don't know if I can remember. I don't know if I have a, like, before sex memory.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't remember life before sex.
Life was, what was that? No. I do have a memory of not knowing that, like, I had a vagina.
Huh.
So I only thought, like, when I was little, before I started my period, mm-hmm. I only thought that I had, like, my urethra, like, you know, where mm-hmm. I peed from. And my mother gave me a tampon. When I started my period, she's like, here's a tampon. She's like, do you want me to help you put it in? I was like, woman, stay the fuck away from my vagina. but then I remember going to the bathroom and, like, unwrapping the tampon and sort of, like, laying it in between my my vaginal
lips. Like a hot
dog
in a bun?
Yeah.
I like, did that too.
And she said to me,
I thought I was the only one who did that.
She said, you shouldn't feel it. I'm like, I can feel it.
It's tricky.
How'd you find out that it had to go in?
After sex.
Oh.
Damn.
So wait, did you just walk around with like toilet paper in your underwear after, like, if you didn't put, or did you put the tampon?
She just laid it like this.
And
like a hot dog in a bun.
Yeah. And I kind of just like, and she said, you're not supposed to feel it. And I'm just like, is it magically supposed to dissolve?
But the thing is, like, you could always kind of feel it, even when you put it in regular way. You're like, nah, I always feel it.
Really?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Just
sometimes.
Depends. Depends on the day. You know what I mean?
Suppose.
Yeah.
So wait, when you first had sex, but you knew the penis went in the vagina, though, right?
That's about the same time that I figured out that I had a vagina.
And what was your first reaction to figuring out you had a vagina?
Sex is painful, Jesus Lord.
Yeah.
Well, it's not always painful, not for everybody. Everybody has a different experience. Mine was, I was 14 years old. It was in the backseat of a car at a club. It literally just went in, and then he came, and we were done.
How many seconds was
it? Oh, wow.
2 or 3.
Wow.
Jeez.
But also, it was his first time.
Oh, okay, so you took each other's virginity.
We did.
Oh, okay.
Now, did you know before you started having sex that it is possible for a man to ejaculate that quickly? And were you upset? Were you like, cool? Were you like, okay?
I was glad that it happened in 2 or 3 seconds because it was not pleasurable.
Yeah.
So, and then I was actually more excited about the story of not being a virgin than I was.
I know, right?
Else.
It's like a Band-Aid.
So I went and I told everybody, I'm like, I had sex! And I really wanted to be the first one, you know?
Oh.
Except my friend who had been fucking around already. I just wanted to be the first one in my class. And I was.
And was everyone like very, was it like folklore? Was everyone like around a campfire? Was they excited?
And then he dumped me soon after.
Well, I got what he needed.
Oh.
Sorry, guys. Oh.
No.
Yeah, this is groundbreaking news here, guys.
No. How old was he? How old was the guy?
15.
Yeah. 15-year-old guys. They're really... No,
they're not known for their monogamy.
No, they're not, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's what... I mean, when did you ever have that experience where you feel like you've slept with somebody too soon? Have you ever thought that?
No.
So they kind of go away right when you kind of want them to go away. Because I'm like, wait, I thought you loved me. And then they're like, no,
yeah,
bye.
I have the opposite of that feeling. I often sleep with people and then I'm just like, can you leave now?
So you're a Corinne.
Well, that's like on the day, but like then do you want to like maybe a couple days later see them again or like truly
no,
you're done?
I'm done. When I'm done,
wow.
I'm done.
Really? So yeah. You never like been heartbroken or like
yearned? Oh, no, I've been heartbroken, definitely. But more so in a relationship than a one-night stand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so my heartache comes from like a buildup of things happening. Or sometimes, you know, getting into a situationship with somebody and, you know, you're the only person in the relationship who knows that you're in a relationship.
Oh, yeah, that's happened before, yeah. And you're like, oh, I thought we were... Wait, when did that last happen
but
to you?
It's been happening, let's see. I think the last situationship that I was in was 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh.
And we were together for a year, maybe a little bit more, and he just sort of never, he's like, I just don't want to call you my girlfriend. Maybe we can just, you know, just like, we're good the way we are.
How'd you come to that those crossroads of like, wait, what am I to you? Like, what happened to make you ask that question and demand, like, what are we?
So, the man that I was with at the time, he was very, very insecure, I think, because he didn't like it when people spoke to me.
Whoa.
So in the time that we were together, he never took me out.
Even
much.
Like your mom? Just any male, like any non-him male.
But so bad that like if we were out, which was very rare, I think we went out together 3 times in total.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
And one time we were out at a club and there was 2 guys who were standing across and they were looking at me and he got so mad. He's just like, I can't do this. I can't take you out because people stare at you.
Whoa. Did you ever get to the bottom of that with him?
Well, he's very strange. No, we just kind of talked about I don't think we ever really got to the bottom of it. He still reaches out to me and tells me how much he's still in love with me, even though he's married and has 3 kids.
Oh boy.
Yeah,
oh,
but
that's a problem. What do you say back? Cool, I gotta go to the grocery store.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly
bye.
What I
like,
say.
I gotta, you just, really? Oh my God, I'm psychic.
Yeah. Gotta go to the bathroom. Bye.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And did you know, was there a moment where you knew like this is not normal behavior, or did you always kind of know and then you were kind of keeping tabs of the red flags and then when they added up, you're like, I gotta go?
A lot of the time I find that in situations where I'm not comfortable, I try to justify the uncomfortability by saying, maybe this is how it's supposed to be.
Mm.
And then that's what ends up like becoming a long-term situation that you can't get out of, or something that it's easier to stay and it's more comfortable to be in the relationship than it is to leave it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though leaving is better.
Yeah.
You gotta do it for you, you know.
I actually very recently, I think last week, just got over my ex. And it was like...
Did something happen, or you just woke up one day and you're like, I don't miss him?
It was like an accumulation of me telling myself that this person was not good for me. And then... And knowing very well that this relationship was not good for me. And then just suddenly, like suddenly, I woke up one morning and it was gone. And the way that I know is that if I can imagine him with another woman and I'm okay with it, then I'm over him.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good litmus test.
How long were you with that ex that you got over last week?
We were together for 2 and some years. It was actually a polyamorous relationship.
Oh. Ooh.
Tell us a little bit about that. That. Yeah.
So how many of, was it one
there
guy?
There was 3 of us.
3?
So.
But did you only miss the one? Or?
And that's got to suck for that guy, right?
I feel like this is going to be a whole new episode. So he was married.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a relationship with him and his wife.
Right. Okay.
And did you like both of them?
I liked him more.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like the rules of the relationship were that were you sexual with her as well?
I was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever sexual with her separate?
No.
Was always the three of you?
It was always the three of us.
Was it ever just you and him?
Oh, a lot.
Oh, okay. And was the wife like, yeah, you take him. I'm done. I got to go to the store.
Then he would do nights over at my house. And then we kind of, I formed a stronger bond with him than I did with her. And I think that's why it worked that way. Mm. But it was really nice while it lasted. But then there was issues in the marriage. And then that didn't work out so well for me because then it would come home to my house and I didn't want it. And
so he would come back and be like, man, she just won't wash the dishes. And you're like I don't care. Yeah. Can we have sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
I am nailing this interview.
Yes.
Wait, the problem was really the dishes?
No.
Oh, I really believe that. And I was like, that doesn't seem like a big problem.
Like version of the dishes.
Right.
Well, Did she ever get jealous? Or I'm just so fascinated with polyamorous relationships.
She did a couple of times and we talked about it.
Oh, you and her?
No, the three of us. We would have those discussions about dealing with everything that we were dealing with all the time. The thing about polyamory is that polyamorous people, I think, talk more than anything because you have to open up. It's like dissecting your emotions and putting everything on the table and trying to deal with it.
Yeah, third party. That I can't imagine how much more communication that will require.
Oh my gosh.
Because you have to deal with. Did all three of you ever have sex?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time?
Yes, we did.
Oh, that's fun.
Was she seeing anyone else on the side?
No, she wasn't.
Was she allowed to if she wanted to?
I don't think so.
Yeah, see, that happens. That's a pattern I've been seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the guy can go from puss to puss, and the lady's like, just one
right.
D for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you really want one D for you? And she's like, yeah. Mm. You know, but.
Yeah.
And now you are pansexual?
I am, yes.
What does that... There's so many definitions of that I have heard. So what is your definition of it? What does it mean to you?
I am more attracted to people and not the bodies that they wear. Mm-hmm. So I can fall in love with absolutely anybody.
That's fun. To just walk around like, who am I going to fall in love with
today? Yeah, that's exactly it.
So is the difference between that and bisexuality? I mean, I heard it defined as you just also are including non-binary people.
Trans,
etc. Yeah.
Everybody across the board.
Mm-hmm. So you don't need a certain body part to be aroused, basically, is kind of the difference.
Yeah. Okay. Even though I do get aroused by body parts, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. If someone's got a great body part,
whatever
it is, it's like, I'm going to peep that, It's like, nice body part.
Can I touch it?
What's the most adventurous sexual thing you've ever done?
Ooh, thanks for asking. I recently discovered that I was very into kink.
Ooh, do tell.
So, I'm a sub, and I really like being dominated, and I've recently been experimenting with my being a sub. A couple of weeks ago, I went for an event in New Orleans called Naughty in New Orleans. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Whoa, sounds fun. Got some fans.
Yes.
She's been.
So it's basically an event for swingers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's a weekend excursion of just swinging. Basically.
And did you go by yourself?
I did.
With a partner?
I'm a unicorn.
Oh, yeah. The female unicorn.
So unicorns can just go to swingers parties? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, girls can always go.
Well,
and guys,
that's the rule in life, usually. Yeah, well,
it's the one perk we get.
Yeah. Out anywhere.
So, wait, what'd you do there?
Say again?
What'd you do in Naughty Nolans?
So, I was actually there podcasting, so I was interviewing people, but the perks of my job. And it's a hotel takeover, and every hotel on the second floor has a playroom. So, just fucking.
What? Open doors or not?
Yeah.
In the hallway or?
It's the whole of the second floor. So it's almost the size of this hall.
Wow.
And
I feel like a real team. We're all in it.
And it's kind of divided. It has subdivisions and then there's different rooms. So there's group rooms, there's couple rooms, tantra rooms and different things.
Whoa.
And then there's a room that only has guys. So if you want to just go and get fucked, then that's where you go. And
but if you're a guy or a girl, anybody can go in?
Mm-hmm. Anybody can go in. And then there's a dungeon.
What?
Yeah, so
in the hotel?
For people who are into, because it's complete takeover for the convention.
Okay, so they turn the hotel around. They
exactly.
decorate it and put stuff in it. That's
so
not
so there
easy.
Was a dungeon, a BDSM dungeon.
Damn.
And one of the people that I was with, I was there with a couple called Jet Setting Jasmine and King Noir, and he was he and another lady, her name is Marla, and they were my doms, and they kind of just like put a collar around my neck and tied a chain to my neck and dragged me through the streets of New Orleans and took me to the dungeon and literally just like spanked the living daylights out of my booty.
And what were you doing while they were doing that? Were you like
moaning?
Yeah, wow.
It was the most exciting thing that I've ever done.
Wow. And did you guys have a conversation about limits? And what was that like? Did you have a safe word? If so, what was
it?
Just curious.
So he asked me if there's anything that I didn't want to do. And I said penetration, because I didn't want any penetration. And he asked, are you okay with other people touching you? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. So that was it. He said, remember the red is stop, yellow is slow down, green is go. So that's
okay, so you would say that if, yeah. If
so I said yellow once.
Do you ever say red?
No.
Damn.
Red is like just stop it. Everything, get out of character completely, just go back to being normal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you ever witness anybody else in the scenario like kind of say their own version of red? Like did you witness anybody wanting it to come to
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on the streets of New Orleans while you're crawling around on your hands and
knees? Yeah, like what if
I wasn't on my hands and knees.
Oh, but they're like, but you're still on a leash, like a leash. Yeah. But so is anyone like, why is that lady on
she
a
okay?
leash? Or
girl,
like a tourist?
I feel wink like once, everyone was
listen, I've been to New Orleans. It's not that crazy. You know, a lot of places are like, this is the craziest place you've ever been. And like, it's just people drinking out of fish bowls. It's not.
I feel like
I wasn't amazed.
True, right.
I loved it, but I wasn't like, oh my God, this is crazy.
I've seen people in New York City, like one on a leash with a collar and just walking. But then I kind of recognize what it is. I'm like, oh, that's a dom sub thing.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming they're fine. But no one was like, you okay?
No, not at all.
Oh, great.
Yeah, also I had my phone out and I was taking videos of
us. Oh, so you
it was very
okay.
Sexy.
Yeah, okay,
it was
yeah.
Very sexy. And then I was very bruised the next day.
Yeah.
My butt was black.
Whoa.
Blacker.
I was going to say, yeah.
Does the pain afterwards, do you find erotic sensation in that or no?
I do. Oh, my God.
It's
so
the anticipation,
much.
I would imagine, too?
No, it's the pain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, I love the pain. I love it. And I think it's because I was trying to sort of figure out why it is that I like pain so much.
Mm-hmm.
But in that sexual experience, it's the only time where I'm completely focused on what's happening to my body because it's pain. So I'm not thinking about, oh, I need to pay my bills.
Yeah.
So it's like, fuck!
Yeah.
It forces you to focus.
Yeah, and then so you can feel everything. So it's the thing with flogging, which is what it's called, is that it's between pain and pleasure. So there's pain, but then there's also touch and sensation. And the pain really accentuates every kind of pleasure.
Wow.
So every time there's pain and then there's like a little bit of touch, it's just like...
That's a good pattern. That sounds nice.
It's orgasmic.
Have you ever had a moment during being kinky with somebody where it didn't go well? Or it didn't
yes.
go... And how was that handled? Because that's a question that gets asked a lot from us. And I'm just curious about your experience. Yeah.
So... And this is how you know what your limits are. Because a lot of the time, people who are into kink or BDSM are willing to try everything, and then you kind of know, okay, I don't like that. So, for example, I don't like my hands getting tied. I don't like being restricted by my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like humiliation. But I know that because I tried.
Okay.
So my ex and I tried to role play where I wanted him to like treat me like... us, like I don't know what the word to use is. It's not like degrade me almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Sexually like, degrade you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So just like slap me around and just call me names and like be mean, quote unquote. Yeah. So I didn't like that.
Okay. And did you stop it like in the middle or were at the end where you like, yeah, at that's the last time we're going
to
do
I
that one?
I went through with it because I wanted to go.
To see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, okay. So you were open. You were down to like try new things.
Yeah. And when it was done, I was just like, yeah, no, that's not my thing.
It was but just like a no, but it wasn't like it wasn't like traumatic in any way.
No.
Right.
No,
you were
no,
just
no,
like,
no.
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you talked about your podcast briefly. I want to definitely get into that. So how many years ago did you start your podcast?
So we've been running now for 2.5 years, about.
Okay. Yeah. And you kind of joked about like being arrested, but like, did the government actually get involved with your podcast?
They did.
What?
Okay, so I would like to hear about that for sure.
So So we started 2.5 years ago, and the picture, if you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, you'll see the picture of, she's not currently my co-host, but she was when we started. And a lot of bloggers started writing about the podcast, it's called The Spread, and were talked about it saying that it was a TV show called The Spread Podcast. And then the director of the CEO of the Kenya Film Classification Board, mm-hmm. Heard about it because people were talking about it, but it was because the picture looks sensual and people said that my co-host and I looked like we were lesbians.
Which is illegal, right?
Which is
in
illegal.
Kenya.
Yeah. So homosexuality is illegal in Kenya. And so they actually came after us saying that we were doing a television show that was called The Spread Podcast.
What? Were you like, bro?
Yeah.
Think about what you just said. Yeah. Like, think about it say it out loud and then listen to it and then see if you still.
I don't think anyone knows, like, podcast is just like a filler word. People are just like, oh, let's just put it there. Like, they don't know what it is.
I feel like because podcasting is, at the time that I started, and actually still is, a very new form of digital content, digital media in Kenya. So people weren't and still don't really know too much about podcasting. And so, they threatened the production company that we were working with, and the production company actually ended up throwing us under the bus and saying, oh, it wasn't our fault, and blah, 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 and pretty much, like, kicked us to the curb.
And so, but you still produce, you still do the podcast, right?
Yeah, I now self-produce.
Ah, well, so, that's sometimes better.
Absolutely. But it was such a big deal that it, like, the BBC approached us for an interview, and after that, like, the podcast just blew up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So the government helped, really.
Yeah.
Any publicity, good publicity. It works every time.
They often do that.
Yeah.
My cousin actually just released a film called Rafiki, which was banned in Kenya because it's a story of two girls who fall in love. And so it was banned in Kenya because of the content and them calling it a lesbian film. And it just got so much publicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she premiered at the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yes.
Why does the government in Kenya say why? Do they blame it on religion? Do they use religion
Absolutely.
As the...
Okay. Yes. Yes, it's definitely about religion. And, you know, it's ungodly, and they're trying to teach people about lesbianism. Lesbianism.
That's so funny.
Do you think people wouldn't know if it wasn't for Rafiki? Be like, ah, I had no idea what lesbians were, but then I saw Rafiki.
And now I know, and now I'm gay.
I can't stop eating puss. Yeah.
Do you ever see when you were in Kenya, like your day-to-day life, do you ever see same-sex couples ever holding hands, or is that something that wouldn't even happen because they know the repercussions? And what would the repercussions be?
Jail time.
How much?
14 years.
Whoa! Thought you were going to say days.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who's been to prison?
No, I don't personally know anybody who's been to prison, but I do know of people. So I've spoken to lawyers because it was one of the things we had to do to kind of find out if our podcast was in the jurisdiction of, like, you know, if we were to talk about same-sex relationships or anything queer, like, would we get into trouble? Mm.
Just talking about the topic or interviewing
somebody. So actually
talking
about it is fine, and being queer in any way is fine, but what the law states is basically if you're found in the act.
Right, so it's like some of the weed laws here is like, well, you can have it, but if you smoke it, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what's the, that doesn't make any
sense.
You
can't have your cake and eat it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, so that's it. And, you know, it's so strange. So what they do is if they suspect, especially with guys, if they suspect that you're gay, then they test you, and how they test you is through anal probing.
So you get fucked up the ass to see if you're gay?
Exactly.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So
from a guy who works for the government.
Yeah.
Huh. He probably loves
but
his job.
I have to say, I have to add on to
that. It's
my
one chance.
It's the one, we're currently fighting to change the law. It's currently happening as we speak. And that particular law was repealed.
So the anal probing is no more.
As of like a few months ago.
Like, what are they looking for anyway? Just like if it goes in easy?
Yeah, or like if the guy smiles? Like, what? When you gotta cry during it? How do you, if there's a twinkle in his eye when there's a probe up his ass?
Like an anal probe is such like, I mean like, in a, like it's, I feel like it's like.
What is it? It's what like, is it even?
I only heard about it on South
Dildo,
Park, honestly.
Finger, a wall. You know,
what the fuck is it?
You know,
I thought
I
it was like
alien?
A fake alien thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I thought so too.
Like, yeah.
Do you
like,
know what is actually entailed?
That no,
is
I don't.
And,
but I don't imagine that it's comfortable and I don't imagine that it's. I don't
oh, it's forced penetration.
Exactly.
That's terrible. Yeah. It's a violation.
It's rape.
Yes, it is. It's rape.
Yeah.
So the
government,
rapes you to make sure you're not gay.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're fine. Like, how do you fail that test?
Yeah.
I'm not entirely
what do they
sure.
do for? Do they have something that they do for women, or are they just like, you have short hair?
Yeah. You wear plaid.
Are you in comfortable shoes?
Don't play softball, mate.
I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure. With women, I think it's just like. I don't know, if somebody tells the cops, oh. So it's
like the Salem witch trials.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my
pretty
gosh.
Much. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible for a lot of people back home.
Oh, so my God. So they just repealed the law, the anal probe ring, if they suspect somebody, a man is homosexual.
Yes.
So now what do they do if they suspect a man is homosexual? Do you know?
No, but we're trying to change, we're currently trying to change the law completely.
So that it's, like, not illegal to be yourself, basically.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. And you also had mentioned that nude photos were
illegal. Yeah, because it's like possessing and sharing like illegal material. So there was actually a story of a guy who lives in a town, in a city in Kenya called Mombasa. And there was a guy who was arrested for owning DVDs of Queer as Folk.
Mm-hmm. Well, the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
So stuff like that is like illegal.
He was arrested for
owning
it.
He was arrested and he was arrested for like possession of like. Like it was a
gay
court case.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so no Will and Grace DVDs.
The L word.
No L word. No.
Oh my
wow.
gosh.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wayne, what do you think that must do? I can't imagine what that must do. How that must impact the people who are living in that culture. And I mean,
living in fear your whole entire life. Living
oh my
in
God.
Fear. And this is a reason why we do what we do with a podcast is because we would like to give people a place where they can be safe.
Yeah.
You know, so you can tell us how you feel and we are there to reassure you that everything is fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you
and
get your
okay.
listeners write into you?
A lot.
Do you have any emails that stick out? Listeners that have been through something or have had an issue that really made you go, whoa.
Yeah, a few. So people are very kind. A lot of young people are very worried about their sexuality. There's one young girl who thought that she was pregnant and she was in a panic and she sent an email and she was like, I don't know what to do. This is my story. I went to one of these clinics that offer services for abortion, which by the way is also illegal. But it's a blurry line, illegal.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
And she said that you know, she described her symptoms to the doctor, and then he said, yep, you're pregnant, and then gave her this pill to take. If you take this pill, then, you know, you will no longer be pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then she asked him how much the pill cost, and she didn't have enough money to pay for it, so she said she would come back the next day. So when she went back the next day, I think after, like, you know, she felt very question-y about the situation, so she asked him for, like, a, you know, I don't understand, like, why you haven't, how come you haven't done it, like, a pee test or whatever? He's like,
so
okay,
there was
yeah,
no pregnancy
yeah,
test
yeah, yeah,
done. He was just
yeah,
going off the
so
symptoms.
So then he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, pee in the cup.
I was going to do it. You just asked first. Got it.
And then she did a pee test, and it came back positive. He was like, yep, it's positive. He didn't show her the test.
He didn't
and she
even...
said, I want to see. So he was like, okay. And then he disappeared for, like, 20 minutes, and he came back with, like, what looked like a really old test. And showed it to her, and then she, and this whole time, so she's like, now I don't know what to do, and then
her instincts were right, though,
yeah.
Something was up.
So
yeah.
I said to her, okay, first, like, if you don't feel, she didn't want to talk to her parents, she didn't want to tell her partner, so I told her to go to the pharmacy and buy, there's, like, these $1 pregnancy tests, I told her to buy 3 of those, and just check again for herself, and she did, and then she wasn't pregnant.
Oh. Wow. What do you think the doctor's goal was? Money?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not, okay. Wow.
And then a lot of the time I find that a lot of these wacky type doctors also sell placebos. So
mm-hmm.
it's not
oh.
an actual like...
morning after.
Abortion pill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But I think those are everywhere. I'm really making Kenya look bad.
Well, no. In America, we have fake clinics. I mean, and we were in Philadelphia, and I was walking around with my friends, and there was a Planned Parenthood, and across the street, it was I forget exactly what it was called, but it was a women's health clinic, basically. But the T was a cross, and that's how I knew it was a fake one. They're always next. Oh. They're always across the street from an organization like Planned Parenthood. You go in, they make you think you have all these options, and they're very welcoming. Yeah. And then they give you pamphlets, and then they just sit there and they convince you to not. The abortion, just you can't get an abortion at these places, but they make it seem, they lure you in by making it seem like you have a choice, and then they just convince you otherwise. Like, you'd be a terrible person, or getting abortion increases your risk of cancer. I mean, spreading terrible lies. I mean, the United States is full of just whack jobs and shitheads and people. And that's being done in the name of religion.
Of course.
You know, so I mean, there's some
God
terrible
things. God will punish you,
out.
You'll go to hell.
Yeah, I mean, and in terms of, like, I know in America, a lot of times there's a statistic that, I think it's 3% of rapists ever see a day in jail. Is that what's sexual assault laws like in Kenya?
So, first of all, majority of the sexual assault cases don't get reported, and mostly because you don't get the response that you think that you should get when you ask for help. A lot of stories that I've heard, I did a short documentary series called Kenyan Woman, where I interviewed different women who talked about their sexual trauma or experiences. And a lot of these young girls were talking about how they would go to the police station and the cops would pretty much laugh at them, or just, are you sure it was rape? Or, you know, what were you wearing?
Yeah, there's a lot of stories here. Like that here too. So you're not making Kenya look bad. You're just making everyone. Yeah,
we've heard so many
like the
stories from women.
The police department
so young
look
girls
bad.
Would
yeah,
much rather just not tell anybody about it. Like tell your friend, and even then, you know, you're not so sure, and you don't want to tell your parents. I have a similar story actually. So for a long time, I was raped when I was 18, and for a long time I didn't tell anyone. And years later, I don't know. Why I thought that I should tell somebody like my parents, and it still comes with like, where were you? Were you drunk? What were you wearing? You know?
Really? Your parents were the first people that you told?
No, I had told a few friends, but then.
And that was the response?
Well, and you know the thing is like, so I didn't report it. And then when you do decide to tell somebody many years later, there's nothing
Why'd
you can then...
Why'd you wait?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
always gets thrown out. It's like, well, why would I risk doing it and reliving it?
It's the most common question. It's like, so why didn't you tell anybody at the time when it happened?
Yeah. That's an infuriating... I mean, I can't understand why someone can't understand that. It's like, why would you go through all of that trauma to possibly get laughed at? I mean, the odds are very high that nothing's going to happen to the person, and then you're just going to have to relive it and keep talking about it with detectives, with hospital workers. Like, it's just a huge...
But with regards to people, like, jail time, I think you get more jail time for being gay.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, 14 years was a long time. I don't even, I mean, like, in the United States, I don't even think rapists are commonly getting 14 years.
No.
Unless you're, like, a serial rapist, and even then.
I mean, you gotta rape a lot. I mean, it has to be so obvious. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rapists do not get jail time because it's the burden of proof or the rape kit.
Yeah,
there's
I think
backlog
that,
rape kits. There's a huge problem
you're
in America.
Kidding. No, it's very similar to just what you just expressed about Kenya. Very similar, I would say. I think only with the Me Too movement is it really changing at all. Or people are taking it a little more seriously, and even now it's kind of like people are like, oh well, there's too many stories. Like
I can't even look at a girl
raped?
And tell her she's pretty without getting accused. It's like, oh, get the fuck over
it's
yourself.
It's not about you.
Yeah.
With your assault, was it someone you knew?
Yeah, it was somebody I knew. It was New Year's Eve. I had gone out. This guy had been asking me out for such a long time. And on New Year's Eve, my best friend at the time and I, we didn't have any plans, so we were just like, okay, let's go with him. And we ended up going for like a party, and we all had way too much to drink. And he was dropping us home, but on the way home, I fell asleep in the car. And I woke up and he was inside me.
Oh my goodness.
And so I didn't understand what was happening until like maybe 5 minutes in, and I was like, get the fuck off me. And then I remember that I was on my period and I had actually had my tampon on.
Mm.
So the next day I called my best friend. I'm like, what the fuck happened? I still hadn't registered what had happened, right? Mm. That whole situation took me so long to...
That's such a trauma.
To,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I went back home and I was like, what the fuck happened? And she's like, oh, she said that he had dropped them off I can't remember what the details of the story are, but he pretty much drove off with me asleep in the car. So he must have carried me into his bed or whatever. Mm. And so I have this tampon stuck inside me. And so I remember...
As if you didn't have enough to worry about at the time. It's like, God damn it.
Okay, Jesus. I know I shouldn't be laughing, but... Like,
no, it's your story. You laugh.
You can laugh about your rape all you want.
Goddamn want to.
So I remember just like... having different people try to remove the
tampon. Oh, were they your girlfriends?
It was one of them was her, my best friend, and then the other one was this guy who where she was saying he's like my big brother.
Yeah,
and I was just like, I need your.
And was he like, okay?
He was. Oh, he what was a, so oh, sweet. God rest sweet. His soul. He died a few years ago, but yeah.
Nice
so
guy.
He tried to remove the tampon, and when that didn't happen, then I ended up going to the hospital, and they had to like.
Clamp it out.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, it's like everyone needs someone who will dig for a tampon in their
everybody
vagina.
Needs. Yes. Do you have a friend like that?
I because the same thing recently happened to me, and I called my ex boyfriend, and he got it out. Thanks, James. Where are you? He's in here somewhere.
Shout out.
That was really nice. A hero moment.
Huh?
Do you have somebody who would remove a tampon for you? Would you do it?
I don't think. Yeah, sure. I
do.
If someone asked me, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Would you do it? You would do it.
Oh, yeah, I'll take your tampon
out. Oh, thanks, Corinne.
I mean, it better be lodged in there. Don't just be like, come in here. If I see string, I'm going to
be Corinne,
mad.
Hey, Corinne, here's a task for you. I know you don't, you know, you're really a gung-ho, a can-do attitude. Maybe
Christina
I have a challenge
trying
for
to do
you.
A friendship
I
challenge. I can see you maybe doing that, trying to lure me in.
Or like, kidding, there's no tampon. Oh, that's so funny.
JK, April Fool's. That was funny, right?
Aw.
That's really funny.
I had one lodged up, and I just had to just I dug it out myself. I'm my own tampon remover, but that kind of made me sad that I didn't have someone to call, but I was also nervous.
Did
I was
you then
younger.
Eat a tub of ice cream?
Yeah, probably. That sounds about right. Yeah.
I don't know. I think there must be some tricks, like homeopathic tricks, to like get a tampon out. But
doesn't eventually though it would get out eventually? But I mean,
I think it's like an organic one, and those just kind of fall apart.
Do you know what?
Sometimes too early.
Sometimes when you just put
it
in.
Do you know what else can remove a tampon that's been? So I have terrible memory. Terrible okay. memory. That sometimes I forget to remove the tampon and put in another one.
Ooh,
oh,
yeah.
I've done that. Oh, yeah.
So when you remove that one, the other one comes out.
Yes, it does, actually. You're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I have terrible memory. I've gone into the shower with like my underwear on or my socks on, and I'm like, wait a sec. Oh, God damn it.
Oh,
so like,
left.
Yeah, I've done that a bunch.
I do that on purpose.
And so we got to wrap up now, but how
no,
can people... I'm sorry.
So much fun talking.
We have to flip this whole room.
Yeah. Is there any other quick story you want to say or anything you want to...
Not that I can think of, I don't think.
Okay. Oh, pressure's on. Pressure. It's like the girl with the orgasm. You can't put a lot of pressure on it
because
then you won't think anything. Yeah, but then if we're just in conversation, it's like, oh, yeah, stories for days.
Yeah, nope, got nothing.
Okay. And so the Spread Podcast, where can we find that on social media, on iTunes, on...
So if you want to follow us on social media, we're at The Spread Pod on everything across the board. And if you want to listen to the podcast, because you should.
It's so good. I love it.
Thank you. It's on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Google Play, and on SoundCloud.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for sitting down with us.
Thank you. One more thing.
Yes.
Thank you guys, because I started my podcast, I reached out to you guys first.
I remember that.
And I remember that you had, like, you were looking for songs, and you had a section where you were playing people's songs, and I sent you guys one of my songs.
Beautiful
and
song.
And that's how we got, thank you.
So,
and that's
so how we got very talented into. Singer. You're beautiful
thank
voice.
You. And that's how we got in touch. So I've been following your podcast, and I got a lot of people onto your podcast back
thanks,
home
Cass.
As well.
Thank you.
So I just want to say thank you. Thank you guys for doing what you do, because that's the reason why I do what I do.
And
thank you.
And thank you for continuing the conversation, because that's so fucking important.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thank you guys so much.
Right, thank you.
I'm the most inconsistent of a hard time making decisions. I'm a mess. And it's not like it's a big confession, hardly worthwhile lesson. But I tell you this, 'cause I care about your feelings, and I don't want you to get hurt by me. And I can't change, this is my whole worth. I spread my wings, and oh, I try. I'm really just a broken little bird.
Love is passionate about the perfect fit, and they believe it's time for your bra to fit you, not the other way around. Their collections are designed by women for women, so you will love the way you feel under each and every look. And now they offer over 70 sizes and more than a dozen styles, so you'll find the perfect bra for every moment and every outfit. Get 15% off your first purchase by going to thirdlove.com/GWF today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.